The following audio is from Living Axe Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.
All right. Well, tell you what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to attempt to give you kind of a basic foundation of why family discipleship is vital to the life of the church, okay? And then give you kind of a glimpse what it's all about. And then finally, I'm going to finish with some things that to consider as we go into our groups and to answer like a few questions about the family and discipleships. So I want us to consider three things tonight. Number one, I want you to see the seriousness or the importance of family discipleship. And number two, I want you to see the nature of family discipleship, what it's all about, how it works, that type of thing. And then I'm going to do a little potpourri, you know, that stinky stuff, potpourri, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. The last thing to do some things to consider about family discipleship. What's it look like more specifically? So let's pray and ask the Lord to just help us to understand how to best disciple our families. Because here's my feeling. My feeling is that the greater our discipleship of our families, the stronger our church will become. That's really the reality of it. So let's pray, and then we'll go on from there. So, Father in heaven, thank you for life. Lord, you're a great and mighty God. You're full of truth and mercy. God, we're just grateful that we're able to gather together this midweek time and to think a little bit about what it means to learn about you as a family. And Lord, my prayer is that your word will speak truth, and Father, that we will be encouraged about what it means to truly disciple our families. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let's first take a look at the idea of the seriousness or the importance of family discipleship. Now, I want to tell you this. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that our world has a few problems today. If you kind of look in the news and you realize that they're going to affect your children, they still affect my children, and they're going to affect my grandchildren and your grandchildren. So your kids are growing up in a world that's encountering things that are new, not just simply new in one sense, but they're new to not just American society, but really to the world. I mean, it's crazy to think about this, what I'm talking about, but you know what I'm talking about. You're talking about same-sex marriage. As far as I know, never in the history of the world has a country or any group ever sanctioned, in a sense of the country, the idea of same-sex marriage. There's been perversions, obviously, all over the place, but you have to deal with that with your kids. And this is all part of family discipleship. So you're going to have to deal with this issue with your kids and this question of discipleship, of following Christ, of living a holy life. That's going to be at the forefront of their lives. So as much as we don't really want to deal with those things, I don't know about you, but I get kind of tired of talking about those things a lot of times. You will have to deal with such things. Now, the reason I'm telling you about this is I want you to understand the seriousness of dealing with family in the discipleship, the seriousness of it, okay? So it's the way the world is right now. There are other things that have always been part of sin in the world that you need to deal with, like there's attitudes of the heart, there's gossip, there's envy, there's strife, there's hatred, there's racism, there's all that stuff that you're going to have to deal with your kids and in your family still. But I simply want you to understand that discipleship is serious, okay? Because sin is serious, becoming like Christ, holy unto the Lord, is the basis of true discipleship. We're supposed to be like Christ. That's the whole point. We're to be like Christ. We're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And we have to recognize that sin is prevalent in this world and that Satan's desire is to destroy you and your family. I don't know if you, and that's a serious thing to think about, that Satan wants to destroy your family. Okay? So as much as we know that sin is prevalent, we also just need to be often reminded that Satan and the war that we are in is very real. So what I want to do is I want to explain to you now just a little bit discipleship in this manner. Discipleship is really the idea of replacing our idols with Jesus. So let me put it this way. You are what you worship. Okay? So if you worship Jesus, which is true discipleship, you look like Jesus. You worship other things, you look like those idols. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 135. Okay? And I want to read these verses to you, 15 through 18. I want you to listen to the idea of you are what you worship. Listen to what is said here. Verse 15, King David says this, "The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them," and listen to this, "so do all who trust in them." So, very simply, you become what you worship. Now think about this in terms of your family, family discipleship. What are you worshiping? Well, whatever you worship, that's what your family is going to become. God has told us this not only in Psalm 135, but in Psalm 115, the same exact thing. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. So here is the importance or the seriousness of family discipleship. If our families do not worship the true and living God, we will become what we do worship. Okay? So what is important in your family, in other words? What's the most important thing? Tim Keller has this book, Counterfeit Idols. Some of you might have read it, but he lists all kinds of different types of counterfeit idols. He talks about theological idols, and he talks about sexual idols, pornography and such. And he talks about magic and ritual idols, the witchcraft, the occult. He talks about political idols, capitalism, socialism, Marxism. He talks about racial or national idols. There's racism, militarism, nationalism. He talks about relational idols. There's moralism and legalism, idolatry of success, that type of thing. And there are cultural idols, like radical individualism. We're real big. I found out being in Texas, that's a big thing, too, to be a radical individual. That makes you somehow cool. So that's a cultural idol. Happiness at the expense of community. And then there are these other deep idols we have, like power idols. I want to be in control. Approval idolatry, you know, the idea that I have to be approved by everyone. And there's comfort idolatry, and so on and so forth. And the big one, of course, sports, okay? So here's my take on Texas again, is that sports have a certain type of idolatry here. And I'm amazed that in families that I see how huge sports is an idol to them. So these are all things that we see. And if, again, if that's your emphasis, whatever these things are, that, and you worship those things, that's what you become. So you can see that if a family's worshiping sports, which a lot, that's what you're going to become. You're going to become that, everything having to do with that. Is there anything wrong with sports? No. I like sports. Okay, it's been wonderful. It's allowed me to see the whole world. So I've been to Egypt. Where else have I been? China, and I've been to the Dominican Republic. I've been all kinds of simply because of sports. Okay, so I love sports in that sense. But the idea of it being an idol is huge in our society today. So here's the point. We need to see that idols of our day are taking the place of true worship of the living God. So true discipleship, loving Christ first and foremost, replaces idols. Okay? Now here's what I want to do. I want to turn to Deuteronomy 4 and 6 because I want you to see how God in His Word actually puts these two areas of family discipleship and idols together too. So I want you to see that. So hopefully what you've seen so far, this is a serious issue. Okay? Our day and age, there's lots of things out there that are going to affect our family. So it's a very serious issue. Now I want to show you how does God put this idea of family discipleship and idols together. So let's look at Deuteronomy 4, if you have your Bibles, in verse 9. And if you don't, I'll just read along, okay? Or you just read along with me, or hear along. Verse 9 says this, "Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life." Now listen to this part. "Make them known to your children in your children's turns." There's a command by God to make known the word of God to our children and your children's children, so your grandchildren. "How on that day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, that they may teach their children so.' And you came near and you stood at the foot of the mountain while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud and gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. And he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and rules, that you might do them in the land that you're going to possess. And then listen to this in verse 15. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully, since you saw no form on that day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Beware lest you act corruptly by making a carved image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air. And he goes on to talk about other idols. And so here's the connection between proper family discipleship and idolatry. The warning is this. In verse 8 or 9, he says that we're to make known to our children the word of God. And then he says in verse 15, but watch yourselves that you do this. In other words, make sure you make known the word of God to your children, because when you disciple your children with the word, then it will keep you from idolatry. But if you don't, he says, watch therefore, because you're going to fall into idolatry. And he repeats the same thing in Deuteronomy 6. So I won't read all that because we're going to look at that in just a minute. But he says the same thing later on. So what's the connection? Well, the connection is if we do not teach our children well, we will fall into idolatry. So there's this connection between proper family discipleship and whether we fall into idolatry. You get that? So hugely important. So what's the point again? It's a serious issue that we're dealing with here. So what discipleship is, really, it's replacing our idols with Jesus. You are what you worship. So we have to be serious about family discipleship. And in some sense, it's truly a matter of life and death and what we will become. So that's the serious part. Now, second thing I want to talk about is just simply this, is the nature of family discipleship. In other words, how does this work? Okay, so what I've tried to establish is this is an important thing. And if you don't think it's important now, then you got troubles. Okay, you got issues, as we like to say. Okay, because the scriptures are clear. This is something, we live in a world in which it's very important that we disciple properly. Now, so let's look at how this all works, or the nature of family discipleship. And there are three things I want to talk about, but number one is this, that family discipleship is intentional, but it's not always structured. So let me read Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 8, and you'll get this idea. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That is that Hebrew Shema. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And then listen to what he says to do. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So literally, all the time. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So, from these verses, here's what we understand. Discipleship in the family is intentional. God instructs us to teach them the word, to diligently teach the word to our children. So, our intentional objective is to teach the word to our children. Now, it's interesting what this verse 6 says, because it necessitates something very important for us, though, because in verse 6 it says, and these words which I command you today shall be on your heart. Now, how did the word get on their heart? Well, they had to know God's word. So here's the point. Parents, your walk with Christ, your knowledge of God and his word, is crucial to family discipleship. It's an intentional thing that must be understood, but it's crucial that we as parents know and understand God's word. So here's the summary of intentionality. We must intentionally know the word ourselves as parents, and we must be intentional in teaching the word of God to our children. Now, that seems like a duh statement, you know, but I want to ask you this question. You can answer it quietly to yourself. Do you intentionally think about how you're going to disciple your kids? Do you intentionally think about, this is what I want to do? Even on a daily basis, and we'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute. But the idea of, are you intentionally doing this? And two, are you growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ so that you can intentionally disciple your kids? Okay, that's number one. Second thing, discipleship in the family is not always structured. Okay, and that's a really important thing to understand. Verse Deuteronomy 6 again says, you talk of them when you sit in your house and you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. So in other words, if you're just hanging out watching TV, if you're just hanging out in your house, if you walk by the way as you travel, when you lie down, whatever it is, you, as life goes on, you teach and model the words of the living God. That's what discipleship is for the family. You live out what you know to be true. It's not simply times of family worship time or specific times of Bible study. It's all the time. Okay, so sometimes we've got this idea of family discipleship is, like in my house, we used to do stuff after dinner, and that's a good thing. And I'm going to talk about that too. But the idea of, I sit down at this particular time, and we're going to read the Bible, we're going to do this, it's almost regimented. That's what real discipleship is in the home. Well, that is true. That's a good part of it. But we're talking about the idea that discipleship is intentional, but it's not always structured. So here we go. There you are with your son, your daughter, and I don't know the ages of all. Some of you have very, very youngins, little youngins, and so you haven't got to do this yet. But you're at the ball field, as we like to say, or you communists who believe in soccer, at the pitch, okay? There's the court and all those kind of things. How do you speak to your child when he loses or when he wins? Or do you ever speak to them? How do you speak to them when, why do you play this game? Well, that's all part of discipleship, okay? And what about relationships in the home? You know, when you're young, when my children, the one thing I never had to teach my kids how to do was sin. They were really good at it. And I think they took after me. But they were just really good at sinning. And so my one son was really good about going and taking toys away from my other son and just ripping them away and saying, that's mine. And he just did that. And there was a moment again, that's where discipleship comes in. How do I speak to that relationship? What do I do? That's the unstructured time. But I had to be, my wife had to be more so, intentional about how am I going to deal with this issue. It wasn't just, you guys knock it off. There had to be intentional speaking to the Word of God to them in some way. Okay? So it's intentional, but it's not necessarily structured. And then here's another one. What about husbands and wives? Okay? Sanctifying each other. You know that's what you're supposed to do? Did you know that? If you have a spouse, you're supposed to sanctify your wife. So let me ask you a question. Usually you don't spend a certain time, or I should say make a certain time for sanctification in your household, do you? Like at night, right before bed maybe, I don't know what time you go to bed, but let's say at 9:30, it's time for sanctification, honey, okay? Sanctification time. You don't just get together and sanctify each other. You understand what I'm saying? It's not structured. But there is times during the day, there are times during the day where you sanctify one another in the sense of you encourage one another in Christ. You disciple one another. That's what marriage is supposed to be. It's a picture of Christ in the church, right? So point is, it's intentional, but it's not necessarily structured. So family discipleship is intentional, but it's not always structured. That's what Deuteronomy 6 is telling us. And then secondly, family discipleship is a struggle. And I want you to understand this. I'm sure most of you have got this one already. It is a struggle. Ephesians says to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil or the wiles of the devil, or the big fancy Greek word is methodos, which you can probably hear that word. What word do you hear? Methodos. Methods, right? Methods. So here's the deal. Satan doesn't just get up in the morning, so to speak, if that were the way it worked, and go, I don't know what I'm going to do today. I think I'm going to mess with Kevin today. No, he doesn't do that. He knows exactly Kevin. He knows exactly how to mess with Kevin already. He has a method. He has a way. It's a real war we are in. So this is why that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against authorities. So what's the idea? Well, we're in a struggle because we're in a war. And if you understand that in family discipleship, it's going to make it a lot easier. So you don't have to be all discouraged when you blow up at your child and say things that aren't even close to discipleship related. I don't know if any of you do that. Do you ever yell at your children? Any of you? None of you? Okay, good. Okay, I like that. I've never been in a perfect church. This is wonderful. Okay, now, so the point is, what do you do when that happens? Well, you repent and you ask forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ and your child, and you move on to holiness in the Lord. But we are in this war, and we're not always going to be as faithful as we ought to be. So real world family discipleship, it's a struggle, okay? It's intentional, and it's unstructured some ways, okay? And two, but it's also a struggle that you're going to go through. Can I tell you, maybe I won't tell you all of them, but there's probably a million times that I've messed up with my kids. I have old kids. All my kids are old, in their early 70s, and so they're all really old kids, and so I really don't have kids that are 70. So did you, Patrick, you do understand that. Okay, good. All right. So, but my kids are all old, but I can't tell you the times I messed up with them in terms of when I yelled at them when I should not have. Okay? So that's the reality. It's always going to be a struggle, and you need to understand that, and please be encouraged by that. So when you do mess up, God is a great, gracious, forgiving God. Isn't that the gospel? He's a forgiving God. And so you move on. It's okay. I can't tell you the number of times when I did things and that I felt so horrible about it that I literally wanted to go hide away somewhere because I thought I wrecked my family for the rest of their lives and they're going to hate me and they're all going to be drug addicts and murderers. Okay? I was sure of it just because of, you know, that one time I blew up at them. So, second thing, family discipleship is a struggle. Third thing is that family discipleship is ongoing. It's never complete. So the reality of family discipleship is, as long as you have kids, you're never going to stop helping them become a disciple of Christ. Your discipleship style and means will change, but you're going to continue to disciple. I have a 30-year-old son, okay? I know it's hard to believe, but I have a 30-year-old son that is now my friend, okay? He is my peer of sorts. He is no longer a child at my home. My discipleship with him comes with listening to his ideas about life and encouraging him right now and making some suggestions about what God says in his word. Now he lives in Colorado, okay, and he teaches he teaches at a Christian school and does some outdoor stuff with people. But we have this argument about alcohol and marijuana all the time. You know, like, what is with this? Isn't it okay? Isn't it the same thing? And I just smile at him, and then we talk, and I give him God's word, and we go back and forth, but there are these issues. Now, he's not a smoker. I'm not trying to say that. We just have the argument, okay? I'm not a smoker either. I just want you to know. Okay. So, whew. This is all right, Kevin. I'm going to be okay, right? All right. It's getting scary up here. All right, now, but the point is, it's totally different the way I deal with him and disciple him now versus when he was in fifth grade. Total different way. But it's always ongoing. I have a daughter who's 23. I have a son who's, 25 or so. And all these guys, they still need discipleship from their dad and from their mom. Okay? And it's always an ongoing thing. So what have we done? One, we've looked at the importance or the seriousness of discipleship. We live in a society of great sin. We are what we worship. We become what we worship. So true discipleship is replacing our idols with Jesus, okay? That's the serious part of it. And the nature of family discipleship, it's intentional, but it's not always structured. It's real life, in other words. It's a struggle, so be encouraged even when you get struggled, when you're struggling, because remember, we're in a war. And thirdly, it's ongoing, it's never complete. Now, here's what I want to end with, okay? I want to just do another little potpourri of something, of things to consider in family discipleship. In other words, this has no rhyme or reason. These are just some things to think about as you go into your groups and start discussing the nature of what family discipleship is. Okay? So I just listed some things I want to talk about. Number one, when you look at your discipleship, you want to ask yourself and your family, what do you want your family to look like? What do you actually want to see in these children and in your spouse? Okay, and please don't say things like, well, I want the house perfectly clean, and that's not what we're talking about, okay? or I don't want perfect children. That's not what we're talking about. How can they look like, what does it look like for your kids to look like Christ, to be like Christ? Okay, that's something to consider. In other words, it's that old saying of, you know, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. You know, you heard that? Okay, that's kind of that concept. The idea is, have you sat down, you and your spouse, and thought about, you know, what does this look like? What should my child become? What should he be? I was listening to, what's this lady, Jen Wilkin? You've heard of her, I think. Okay, she had this little thing I listened to not too long ago, and she was talking about she wanted her kids to look like aliens. And I wasn't sure what that means, little pointy things up here or something, I don't know. But what she meant was she didn't want her kids to be like the rest of the world. So she decidedly wanted to grow her kids in the grace and knowledge of Christ so that they were not like the rest of the world. Now, it doesn't mean they were weird, and, you know, we get this kind of concept of what that looks like. It doesn't mean that. But she decided to sit down. So think about that. What do you want your kids to actually look like? Secondly, you must understand that the Holy Spirit has to do the work. Please understand this. You can't do it. It is God the Holy Spirit who works in us and through us for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. You can't do it. And you know what? There are no guarantees. I'm going to tell you this too. Your child might grow up and not be perfect. Okay? My children just happen to be. Now, liar. I'm a liar. I confess it to you. Elder, where are you? Do some penance or something. What am I supposed to do? Hey, you know, but anyway, the point is, my kids are not perfect. I'm thankful that they're walking with the Lord right now. I really am. And seriously thankful. And I do believe that's because they were brought up by my wife. Okay? And I believe that. But understand that doesn't mean your child is going to be perfect. Your children are going to be perfect. Okay? Thirdly, parents, recognize that the closer you are to Christ, the better the family discipleship. So the more you grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ individually and together, the more or the better is family discipleship. Simple. And then another thing, this is a silly thing. My good friend Winston Churchill, we were in elementary school together, and Winston Churchill said this. He said, you remember this wonderful line? Never, never give up. Never, never give up. Something like that. You remember that? Very important. Hugely important. It's kind of biblical, actually, isn't it? Right? Always trust Christ. Never be discouraged. Okay? That's hugely important because if you're the typical young wife, I know that I've never been a typical young wife. I can tell you that. I have a joke here, but I'm not going to say anything. But anyway, I've never been the typical young wife, but I do know my own young wife when she was young. Not that you're not young now. When you were young. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. But she was tired. She had to mess with three kids, and they were not perfect. And it was hard for her to grow in the grace and knowledge of, and it wasn't hard for her to grow in the grace, but it was hard for her to spend time to do the right things in terms of Bible study and all the things that you think you must do in order to grow. And so my point being is simply trust Christ. Recognize that you're going to have those struggles. Recognize that you can trust Christ through those times and you will grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and you will, don't give up, even in the midst of that. Okay? Next thing, fathers lead, mothers lead. The scriptures are clear that fathers should lead in the home. Okay? Don't have time to do a whole lot of stuff, but very simply, fathers should be leading in the home. Now, it could be you feel very inadequate about it, you feel like you can't do it, or you just haven't done it. Please don't be discouraged and ashamed. I've been there, still am there in many ways. I never was perfect. And there were times when I was so thankful, still am thankful for my wife who led in the sense of growing my kids up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, of teaching them God's word, when I failed to do so. So, but recognize that it is a father's job to lead, spiritually lead the household. And mothers, if your husband is not, then you go ahead and lead. And I don't mean outwardly, I mean continue to disciple your children. Okay? Next thing. Priorities are necessary. It's important in family discipleship, and these are all the practical things I was talking about, but it's important to do things, to make a priority of things, for instance, dinner together. Okay? That's a real practical thing. And you might say, well, I can't have dinner because this or that, but something where you are together every day and you have an opportunity for some kind of structured worship also, some kind of structured family discipleship. That is hugely important. And you must make the priority to do that. You have to. Simple as that. It might not be dinner. It might be something else because every household's unique. But recognize that is hugely important. Okay? And then, last thing. Here's what basic family discipleship is. This is really it. You ready for this? I could have said all this and that was it. And that is simply this. Read the word, okay, pray, and sing. Those are the three things, really, that Scripture seems to indicate of what basic family discipleship or worship is. You read the Bible, you pray, and you sing. This is what, basically, in my family, we did, okay? My wife and I, when the kids were young, after dinner, we read the Bible, and we had little kids, so we didn't, you know, I didn't talk about great Calvinistic doctrines, and they didn't talk about soteriology and ecclesiology and eschatology and all those things. I didn't do that. We read some passage of Scripture, and we just talked about Jesus a little bit, or we talked for just a few minutes. That's all we're talking about. That's reality. That's basic family discipleship. And then we would pray, and we would pray together, and then we would sing songs. And it was always humorous to me because we lived on a campus for a while, and I used to have some kids that would want to go into the gym, so they'd come to my house and get keys. Long story short, they came to my door when we were doing our little singing time, and they didn't know what to do. They were like, first of all, they were in awe that families were singing together, but they didn't know how to respond to the fact that a family was singing together. But you know what? Those kids, they loved that, to know that other families were, and I hope to this day that that's one thing they remembered about me, was that at least my family sang together. So that's basic family discipleship. Read the word, pray, and sing. Now, let me recommend a book to you. Don Whitney has a book called Family Worship. It's a very simple, like 140 pages, nice little book that'll get you started on family worship. I think you can get like a Kindle thing for it for like $6, something like that. So, okay, all that to say, all I wanted to encourage you tonight is this. I hope you understand the seriousness about it. I hope you understand the nature of it, what it's all about. It's intentional, okay, but it's not always structured. And then all these little things to consider in a family discipleship, all these little things, I hope that it encourages you. Now, here's the last thing I'm going to say, and then I'm going to pray, and that is this. Maybe you're not really, you're single, or you don't have children yet, or whatever. It doesn't matter if you don't have children. If you have a spouse, that's still family discipleship. But if you're single, think about how you want to do this when God does give you the opportunity to be married, or if he does, okay? And think about how can you learn from this and want to desire to be a leader as a family in family discipleship, okay? All right, your leaders have these little questions to talk about. And so when we go, as soon as we pray, we'll go to their various places, kind of look at these questions and just kind of think out loud. And some of you do this, a lot of this stuff already. And if you could encourage one another with this, I'm convinced that if we do this right in any church, that that church is going to be sound and it's going to keep growing and God is going to be glorified. So let me pray. Father, thank you for you. You are a great and mighty God again. And Lord, we thank you for your word, which is truth. Lord, thank you that we are to share who you are when we sit down, we rise up, wherever we are. God, will you give us the grace to do that? We know we can't do this without you. We know we desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit. We desire it, and we know that only through the power of the Holy Spirit can things be accomplished that glorify your name, and that's our desire. And I pray that you'd be with us, Lord, as we go to our groups, that we would solidify this a little bit more as we get down to more practical times. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Axe Church, please visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingaxechurch.